Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. First of all, thank you to the kids for bringing up the palms and covering our chancel with beautiful palms. Thank you very much. Thank you for your beautiful songs today. What are we celebrating today? Palm Sunday. And who can remember what the story of Palm Sunday is? What is the story? What's happening on Palm Sunday that we're remembering? Right. The Lord riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. That's correct. And all the people, were they happy or were they sad? They were happy. Right. They were happy to see the king. They were happy. They brought palms and they waved palms and they put palms on the floor. And they also, and we'll read about this, took their garments. This is like the outer shirt that I'm wearing. See, I'm wearing an outer garment. Right? They took their outer garments and they put them down on the path for the Lord to travel on. So we're going to start with our story. Let's read, and you can read along. We're reading from the book of Mark. This story happens, we can read about it in a lot of the Gospels, and we're going to read it from the book of Mark. You can read along. Now when they drew near Jerusalem, so that is Jesus and his disciples, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it here." So they went their way, and they found the colt tied to the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they said to them, "Just as Jesus has commanded." So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it. And Jesus sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the tree and spread them on the road. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna in the highest. So why were the people happy? We said it a little earlier. Why were the people happy? When they saw someone riding in on a donkey, what do you think that was a symbol of? Anybody know? A king was coming. To see someone riding in on a donkey with people following around was a sign of a king. And did the children of Israel, were they looking for a king? Yes. To understand the story a little bit better, we need to know what's happening in the history of the people. The children of Israel were in a position within the region where it was the pathway between Egypt and up into the Middle East. And kingdoms would come through their land. And so they were always being taken over, ruled over by other kingdoms. If you remember Daniel, we did Daniel at the beginning of the year. Right? Daniel was the children of Israel taken to Babylon. The story when Jesus was here was they were being ruled over by the Romans, by the Roman Empire. Do you think it's nice to be ruled over by somebody? No. Nope, it's not nice to be ruled over by someone. So do you think they were wanting a king to make them great again? Yes. They were looking for a king who could come and rule and help them fight their enemies and destroy their enemies and make everybody happy and make them peaceful again. They were waiting for this king. this wonderful king. And so when they saw Jesus coming in, they thought, this is the king who's going to make us great again. Was that the work that the Lord came to do? Was he there to rule a country? Was he there to lead an army and go fight battles? No. That wasn't what the Lord came to do. That was an earthly king that they were looking for. But the Lord is our heavenly king, isn't he? So he was coming in and people were celebrating, and it was right to celebrate him, but not for being an earthly king, but for being our heavenly king. To be our king of our hearts. To rule over our hearts so that our hearts are loving and kind. When our hearts are loving and kind, we are being ruled by the Lord's love. The Lord didn't come to be an earthly king, but to be a king in our hearts who we go to and we look up to. But also, was the Lord here to rule? Or was the Lord here to serve? To serve. He said, if you want to be first, you need to be last. The message that he taught over and over to his disciples was, I may be the King of Kings, but I am here to serve. This is the example that I give to you, to love, to serve one another. So that's what the Lord really came to do, to help us to serve, that inner life. Now, sometimes, or in all the stories of the Lord's Word, they relate to our lives. So in our lives, we sometimes want a king to come. We want someone to come and to make our lives better. Any children here ever been bored? Have you ever been bored? Put up your hand if you've ever been bored. Okay, ever been bored? Adults, okay, ever been bored? Okay, and when you're bored, who do you go to? Who do you go? Anybody go to their mom when they're bored? Right? And what do you say to your mom? Mom, I'm bored. Right? You're wanting your mom to now entertain you. You want mom to find you things to do. Mom must sort out my problems, right? Mom must make me not bored. What does mom normally tell you to do? What does she tell you to do when you say, go study, alrighty. Do something. What does your mom tell you when you're bored? Go clean the house. Go clean the house. What else? What else does your mom say? What does your mom say? Go play. Right. Go find something to do. Right? It's always interesting. Holiday comes, like the second or third day into holiday, and I'm bored. Right? Mom says, go and play. Go and find ways for you to be useful. Right? Whether it's studying or doing chores around the house or going outside and playing, we've got to learn to do things ourselves, right? We can't expect other people to always do things for us. We've got to learn to do things for ourselves. And this is the story that behind what is happening here, is the Lord isn't going to come and do things for us. Any adults ever run into financial trouble? Anyone run into relationship trouble? Anyone run into problems at work? Okay, that's everybody, just there. And there's three examples. Who is the person who's going to fix those problems? If we've got a problem with a relationship, we might say, well, the other person has to change. Or if I just find that right somebody, the relationship will be easy. Or if we're at work, we will say, well, it's the boss or it's the other employees who are causing trouble. If I could just find the right job, I'll be the right fit, and everything will be great. But we often put the problem out there, somebody else's problem. Someone else needs to sort it out. The Lord is the king. If I just pray to the Lord, he will sort out my life. I will be wealthy. I will have perfect relationships. I will have that job that I've been looking for. That is the trap that we fall into in our lives, wanting other people to come in and rule our lives other people to sort things out. But the Lord is the Lord of our hearts. The Lord came to help us change our hearts and our minds, change the way we think, so that the Lord can change the way we love other people. So if your mom says, go out and play, I'm bored, you go out and play. It takes you about 5 minutes, and then you're doing something, isn't it? If you've forgotten that you're bored, now you've figured out something to do, and you're having fun again, you're happy again, right? Because you've gone out, and you've done something, you've put in the effort, and the Lord can then work with that. Same thing applies to us adults. If we have problems in our life, problems in a relationship, problems in our job, problems with our finance, we might want the Lord to sort them out, but the Lord is the King inside. And so the question to us is, instead of looking for the right person out there, the Lord wants us to ask, well, how can I be the right person for them? Can you see the difference? Instead of wanting other people to change and for them to be the right person, how can I be the right person for them? If we're in a job situation and there's some tension between some employees or between you and your boss, how can I be a better employee? What are the things I can change? What are the things that I have control over to help this situation? Right? There are things that we can do. The Lord wants to work inwardly within our lives and not just have things change to our will. The Lord wants us to change in our hearts. Now, where does that change start? If we go to the story and we look around today, what did the people do? When they saw the Lord coming, what did they do? They took off their clothes, right? They took off their outer layer, outer garments, and they threw it on the ground. Or they took palms from the branches of trees, and they put that on the ground for the Lord to walk on as He goes. Where does our journey with the Lord start? What are the things that we can put down before the Lord? Anyone want to have a guess? What is central to the church? Where do we learn about the Lord? From the Bible, from His Word. Garments in the Lord's Word are a symbol of the truth, right? Garments are normally something that you put on. Truths are things that we put on in our minds. Right? We need truths. They help clothe us. They give us a form, just like clothes give us a form, make us colorful and beautiful on the outside. So truths from the Lord's Word are like clothes that we can take on or we can take off. And similarly, branches also are a symbol, if we think about ourselves as the trees of the field. You're saying about trees of the field, clapping their hands. We are the trees of the field, and the branches and the leaves are those true things that we have from the Lord. And more importantly, the stories. What is your favorite story in the Lord's Word? Anybody have a favorite? What's your favorite story? Christmas story, the Lord's birth. Anybody have who likes Daniel? What is your favorite story about Daniel? All of them. Daniel in the lion's den. Who likes David and Goliath? Or the story of Adam and Eve? Mm-hmm. Or Noah? Right? Lots of stories. And each of those stories is like a garment that we put on. And in the story, Jesus came, people took their garments, and they put it on the floor. Who wants to help me? I need three helpers. Okay. Will you put it down there? You can come for me. Put it down in front of that one, And you put it down in front of that one. There we go. All righty. Nice. Thank you. So every story that we learn from the Lord's Word is like another garment that we can put on. Another garment. So we can have the stories of Daniel, or the stories of David, or the stories of Easter, or the stories of Christmas. Right? And each story helps us understand a little bit more about the Lord. We're trying to bring the Lord into our hearts, aren't we? So we learn about Christmas. We learn about the Lord coming into our hearts. And we learn about David and the strength and trusting in the Lord. And we learn about our conscience with Daniel. And we learn about Easter and the sacrifices that we make. Each of those stories helps the Lord move more and more into our hearts. Can you picture every story being a garment, allowing the Lord to move closer and closer to us? All right? So every story is very important. In the new church, we have a lot of teaching about the importance of the stories of the Lord's Word. I want to read to you from the book called True Christian Religion. You can follow along in your pew cards there. This is why the Word, or the stories of the Lord's Word, are so important. The Word provides a connection to the Lord because He is the Word. Who gave us all these stories? Who gave us all these stories?
God.
Absolutely. These are God's words to us. Are they not? This is how the Lord speaks to us. This is how the Lord first meets us, and how we first meet the Lord is through these stories. We meet the Lord, and we get to understand Him, and we can have conversations. He can have conversations with us through these stories in the Lord's Word. So the Lord is in these stories, His words to us. Let's carry on reading. That is, He is the divine, or godly. He is the godly truth and the godly goodness within it. So all these stories talk about heavenly things and moral things and earthly things. That's how the Lord speaks to us, through all of those things. He is the truth in all of those stories. He is the love in all of these stories. And the literal meaning, or the literal stories, provide this connection, because in this meaning, in these stories of the Lord's Word, the Word has its completeness, has its holiness, and has its power. The Lord's stories, the words that He wrote, has power in our lives. And what is that power? What power do these stories have to change our lives? That is the power that exists within these stories, within these truths, that these stories have the power to change the way we think. These stories have the power to change the way we do things. The power of the Lord rests in these as we learn about them and as we start to put those into action in our life and walk humbly with the Lord, living these stories. The connection to the Lord is not apparent to us, but it exists in our love for the truth and our perception of it. So the Lord gives us His Word and these beautiful stories because He wants us to love the stories. Right? So I asked you, what is your favorite story? Samuel. What is your favorite story? Anybody else want to give their favorite story? The Easter story. Anybody else's favorite story that you've loved, that moved you? Right? We have these stories that we just love. And that's the Lord in those stories. He wants us to love these stories. He wants us to enjoy them. He wants us to celebrate these stories because they form the pathway. If we are willing, if we realize that these are really important, they form a pathway for us to invite the Lord into our lives. But we need to realize these are the Lord's stories with the power to change us. And so the story of Easter, the Lord riding in and the people celebrating and putting down their garments, is a reminder to us of the beauty of those stories that serve to guide the Lord and His entrance into our life. Amen. Thank you for your word, that through your word you speak to us, that through these stories are held secrets of heaven, secrets for our life. Lord, as we read these words, will you humble our hearts? Will you open up our minds that we might enjoy and celebrate the entrance of each of these stories into our lives? Lord, we ask that you guide us through these stories, that we can learn from them, that we can learn from you on how to build relationships, on how to change our thoughts, on guidance of the best things to do in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it holds within it your holiness and your power to change our lives. Lord, we thank you that you have given this to us, and we thank you that you gave your life to teach us about sacrifice, to teach us about how to become and change, to walk a path that leads to heaven. Amen. Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. O Lord, forgive us our trespasses. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.